Joining us on the phone right now from London, Pam Colleen, how are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
I am excellent. We just had a long conversation about banning smoking in regards to public spaces. I imagine it's probably one of the first recommendations that people make if they want to have good sexual function or fertility. Stop smoking.
That's right. I mean, that goes with a lot of drugs that are out there. It's not just nicotine, but a lot of the drugs that are out there in the marketplace are going to have an adverse effect on our overall fertility. So it's drugs in general, Tom. With the cigarette smoking, of course, unfortunately, with cigarettes, you're also going to be exposed to things like cadmium and nickel, which are metals that are going to overaccumulate in smokers' bodies. And it is just simply not a good thing to overaccumulate things like cadmium and nickel and even lead in some cigarettes. Smokers can be very, very high in lead, which will have an adverse effect, especially on the fetus and the developing brain of the fetus.
Now, today we're going to talk about the decline of human sexuality, as you describe it, because this is the subject of your next book. What a fascinating subject. Why did you decide to write on this, which I think, you know, immediately people are like, oh, of course, you know, let's talk about sex. But this is an important topic for people, not just married couples.
Huge.
This is the future we're talking about.
You know, my last book was about addiction, which is the elephant in the room. And it's something we have to talk about because we have to come up with better solutions than we have out there today. And the same thing goes with our human sexuality. You know, I don't think I'm the only one out there, Tom, that is seeing that we have a serious problem on our hands with regards to human sexuality. We're seeing rising rates of infertility, birth defects in children, erectile dysfunction, low libido. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And I mean, I don't think I'm the only one who's noticing this problem. And if you go into the bookstore and you look at the books that are out there offering alleged solutions, clearly these books are not offering the correct solutions because the numbers are rising in terms of the problems in these areas. And so what I platform off of course, is the work of Dr. Weston A. Price, because Weston A. Price, when he traveled around the world studying primitive cultures, he did not see the problems that we're seeing today in society with regards to human sexuality. What he saw were radiantly healthy people, in both in terms of their physical health, their mental health, and their sexual health, that when couples wanted to conceive a child, they didn't have any problems, and the babies were born very, very healthy. They weren't fussy. They didn't cry. If there were any issues in and around infertility, for example, in certain cultures like here in North America with the native population, if a couple had any trouble conceiving a child, the couple would go on a diet high in bear fat. So fat was really instrumental in terms of rendering very healthy people and healthy babies. And in cultures all around the world, Tom, these primitive cultures, they had food that was set aside, reserved for parents to be. And these were known as sacred foods because they knew that they needed these foods in order to have healthy babies.
One of the interesting things is the human body. I mean, you're obviously, as a woman, you're not going to conceive without some sort of serious medical help after the age of 60. That the human body, you know, knows that this is it. We're beyond our limits. We're going to shut down. But that doesn't mean for a woman that all your libido should shut down as well. And for men, even though you can father a child into your 70s, we see a slight decline in the amount of testosterone for men. Historically, though, I mean, that's just biology, but we're seeing a steeper decline than should. We're seeing lower sperm rates, much lower sperm rates men over the last 100 years. I mean, this is not just, well, you're getting older, it's natural. No.
Yeah, and they're not swimming very well either.
Yeah, our 60-year-olds, are certainly less, I guess, virile than 60-year-olds.
But Tom, the problem is even worse than that. I have clients, young men in their 20s, who can't get an erection. They're just too sick. They can't do it. There's no energy at all to have the luxury of being able to have a sex life. And that's the epidemic that we're seeing out there today. I have tons and tons of clients that are very, very young and cannot perform. There's just no vitality there. And as they get healthier and healthier, of course, this comes back. But when you see a species on the planet that is as sick as we are here in North America, I mean, and we can't, you know, perform in the bedroom, we have a very serious problem in terms of our legacy, in terms of what our future is as a species. There's just too much fatigue, too much depression, too many problems with the human sexuality in general. And of course, this is not, the writing is on the wall, this is not going to be good for the future of the human species. So I think it's important that we start the discussion. I think we have to set aside any shame or guilt in and around talking about human sexuality, because this is just a problem that people have not really identified how widespread it is. And number one, what are the true variables that we have to consider? We can't just look at the low-fat diet. There's more to it than that. As you know, the animal fat plays a huge role in terms of producing our sex hormones, but we have to look at environmental factors as well.
All right, so let's start that discussion when we come back. Foods we should avoid and foods we should stock up on if we want to increase our sexual performance, if you will. 15 minutes after 11 o'clock, this is News Talk 610 CKTV.
We're up all night to get some. We're up all night for good fun. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky.
20 minutes after 11 o'clock, Pam Colleen joining us on the phone, talking about sexual health, sexual function, human sexuality. How can we improve it with our environment and our diet? Pamela, what are the things we should avoid? What are some of the foods we should limit the intake? Because we know from evidence that that it hurts our either fertility or sexual function.
Well, one of the main culprits out there, of course, is going to be the trans fatty acids, the synthetic fats that we see lining our grocery stores, especially in the middle aisles. So the free-flowing vegetable oils, like your soybean oil, your canola, your corn oils, you've got to avoid foods with those types of ingredients in them. And when they're processed, outside of that being a liquid form, when it turns into a hydrogenated form, so when it's a spreadable or a margarine, these are the culprits. In one of the studies I think I sent you, it said men with high concentrations of trans fatty acids in their semen have 96% fewer sperm than men with low concentrations of trans fatty acids in their semen. So I think the men are hopefully listening to very, very carefully right now, because if you want to have healthy sperm, you've got to avoid those vegetable-based fats and oils.
Okay, so trans fatty acids, as you said, so vegetable-based fats and acids, and this goes in, you know, if someone, for instance, one of the studies you sent me in terms of, and these are all published Journal of Reproductive Medicine, for instance, vegan women are only one-fifth as likely to have twins as are vegetarian and omnivorous women. Many people would be like, well, I don't want twins. But a sign of healthy fertility, twins and multiple pregnancies outside of in vitro fertilization, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the vegans that I work with, my recovering vegan clients, of course, sadly, if they did get pregnant when they were vegan, very tragically, of course, I have to help the children recover. They end up being born with a variety of health problems, learning disabilities, mood issues. It's just horrible to see the fallout when women are either vegetarian or vegan and pregnant. And they're not being told this, which to me is really quite tragic.
Here's an interesting one. Perfluorooctanoic acid, a synthetic chemical used in the linings of microwave popcorn bags, face a huge risk of infertility.
That's right. That's
wow.
Right.
And it's also used in candy wrappers, fast food wrappers, and pizza boxes.
Mm-hmm. And it's a perfect storm. And when you start adding up some of the chemicals that I sent you in that article, whether it's BPA or phthalates, or if it's PFOA, any of these chemicals, it's a perfect storm, because we just have thousands and thousands of chemicals out there that could be interfering with our fertility. So it's, you know, it's nice that they can identify the problems with one, you know, or two or three or whatever, but there's just thousands out there, Tom, and they haven't been properly tested by the government agencies. So essentially they're using these chemicals, they're putting them out in the environment and using humans as guinea pigs to see how we respond to these chemicals. But what we have here is we have a perfect storm, because on a low-fat diet, it's very difficult for us to detoxify properly. So when we're confronted, when we're exposed to these chemicals, our detoxification abilities have been diminished. So we have a real tough time getting rid of these chemicals as we're confronting them. And so the low-fat diet essentially exacerbates the problem, amplifies the problem.
All right. So I had a text or I had an email that was pretty funny earlier today, and I'll read you the email from Josh. And great, just when my computer decides to quit. All right, here we go. So Josh sent me an email about what foods to eat. All right, so Josh says, please tell me what foods will raise my wife's libido. If it's parsnips, great, I don't care. I'll make grilled parsnips, parsnip stew, parsnip pie, parsnip cake, parsnip chutney, parsnip gravy, baked parsnips, sauteed parsnips, parsnips for every meal every day. Parsnips will be my new favorite. Move over, steak and bacon. There's a new meat in town. I know parsnips aren't meat. So what should we eat? Because here's someone saying, please tell me, what can we give?
One of the most important things for your libido is going to be cholesterol, animal fat, right? That's what our sex hormones ride on, is we need cholesterol in order to produce the sex hormones. And in order for them to convert to other hormones, you need vitamin A, which is going to be naturally existing in the animal fat. So you need to eat lots of butter, lots of fatty meat. You can take things like cod liver oil, but all of these things are essential. That's, again, going back to the three square meal model, Tom. Before World War II, we sat down and gladly ate 70% of our calories from animal fat. We sat down and consistently ate three meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So you've got to be consistent with your consumption of animal fat as well. You can't just, you know, load up on animal fat at dinner time and think that's all you need to do. No, you need to eat animal fat consistently through the day, and don't be shy on the quantity. There's a lot of issues within the low libido story. If the animal fat is not enough to help an individual, then there has to be more to be done. These problems are reversible. Libido can go up again. It's just a matter of giving the body the proper tools. But without the animal fat in the equation, I'm afraid it's almost impossible.
So, and is there anything else? I mean, we talk about one of the things that you talk about animal fats, but people, you know, are thinking, oh, okay, but dairy as well. There's a couple of interesting studies that, you know what, people who consume a lot of low-fat dairy have a higher risk of infertility or ovulation problems. That low-fat dairy is problematic. That full-fat dairy that you often talk about, the people who consume full-fat dairy have lesser problems either ovulating or with, fertility issues.
Yes, right. And if you look at the history of mankind, we did not eat lowered-fat dairy products, right? Those were the days when we didn't suffer with fat phobia. So the fact that they've been producing 2% milk, skim milk, low-fat milk, all of these types of milks, it's really not doing us any favors in terms of our health. We do desperately need that fat. And when dairy is high in fat, it's going to help support your hormones, support your overall fertility and so on. So yes, I mean, the research has been done, which is quite unique, Tom, because the universities are usually doing research to prove the perils of eating animal fat. This is how they've been brainwashed and programmed now for many, many decades. So the fact that some research is surfacing to prove the benefits of animal fat is really quite revolutionary in and of itself.
Finally, before we go, let me squeeze in a call. Darko, you got a question for Pam?
Yeah, like you're saying that you should be eating a lot of animal product. Or like, how much would you say a serving? And you're saying three times a day. So what would you consider to be enough animal product?
Well, essentially, if you're eating a bacon and egg style breakfast, you want the protein source itself to look like the size of the back of your hand, for example. And it shouldn't be lean. It should be fatty. So if you're cooking your eggs, cook them in butter or lard or tallow. And obviously your bacon and your sausage, hopefully not lean, hopefully fatty. So by default, the fat should be in there naturally. And it's hard to say from one source or another how much is going to be in there. But visually, if you're eating a steak, if you're eating chicken, if you're eating fish, the quantity should look like the size of the back of your hand. And that is a good general rule for everybody simply because of your size. I don't know people's size, so I can't give an exact amount.
Darko, thanks for the call. Pamela, always a pleasure. I have on our show page a link to the Daily Beast article in terms of what to eat, what not to eat, the latest research into human sexuality, and especially infertility. Mm-hmm. You know, when couples want to have a baby, they are willing to do everything. Women are willing to change their diets whole hard. If it's like, well, you know what, if I'm going to get a bit more chance of a baby this way, this is what I'm going to do. But
and I am teaching this class too, Tom, in London. I have some classes coming up in October, and one of the classes involves this subject, human sexuality.
So I'm teaching these two classes at the Central Library. And if you want to find out the dates and the times, you can go to my website, which is just pamkilleen.com.
And how's your book coming?
Well, I've been working on it for a few years now. I'm hoping to get it out next year.
Okay. And it's on sexual problems in our society, mm-hmm. and what we can do about them. And especially
we got to get to the root of this problem because it's just too widespread.
Pam, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
29 minutes after 11 o'clock. This is News Talk 610 CKTV. Quick break in the program. One